piece for another Bible study. And since we're getting close to Christmas time, I thought I would take the titles of Christmas carols as my topic for the next few weeks. So tonight, we're going to start with Joy to the World. Our Father, I thank you that you came to our earth to bring us great joy. And I pray, Father, as we approach this Christmas season, that we will not be deterred from our joy in the knowledge that you loved us so much that you gave your Son. And I pray that we will find joy in whatever type of family celebration we can have, and that we will anticipate Christmas as it should be anticipated in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a favorite Christmas carol is Joy to the World, though most of the verses seem to refer to Christ coming to earth to reign eternally. The song holds a spot as one of the favorite Christmas carols. It was penned by Isaac Watts in 1719, and one source says it is the most published Christmas carol of all time. The theme of joy is an appropriate theme for a Christmas carol. The birth of the Christ child was intended to bring great joy. Luke 2, 9 through 12. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, that's the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now, both the Old and New Testaments use a variety of words to express the many aspects of joy, such as gladness, contentment, and rejoicing. Joy is a characteristic of God, and God wants it to be a characteristic that is evident throughout all creation, and particularly among his people. God speaks in Job 38, 3 through 7. Job 38, 4 through 7. "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone, while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy?" Even at the time of creation, the angels were shouting for joy when they saw what God was doing to create our earth. In Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." And then from John 15:9 through 11, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Very close to the time that Jesus was crucified, in fact, the night of his betrayal, he wanted to reassure his disciples that they would have complete joy. And then from Philippians 4, 4 and 5, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." The joy of God came to focus in human history in Jesus Christ. The note of joy and exultation runs through the entire biblical account of the coming of Christ. The most familiar passage is the angel's announcement of good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, which we've just read a few minutes ago. Jesus spoke of his own joy and of the full joy he had come to bring others. He illustrated the kingdom of heaven by telling of the joy of a man who found a treasure in Matthew chapter 13. And Zacchaeus was in a tree when Jesus called him, but he quickly climbed down and received Jesus joyfully. Nicodemus had found life's ultimate treasure in Christ. That's from Luke 19, that story. As Jesus' death approached, he told his followers that soon they would be like a woman in labor whose sorrow would be turned to joy. Later, they understood when the dark shadows of the cross gave way to the joy of the resurrection. Viewed from this perspective, eventually they came to see that the cross itself was necessary for the joy to become real. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because of his victory and the promise of his abiding presence, the disciples could rejoice even after the Lord's ascension. Joy is the happy state that results from knowing and serving God. A number of Greek and Hebrew words are used in the Bible to convey the ideas of joy and rejoicing. We have the same situation in English with such nearly synonymous words as joy, happiness, pleasure, delight, gladness. The words joy and rejoice are the words used most often to translate the Hebrew and Greek words into English. Joy is found over 150 times in the Bible. If such words as joyous and joyful are included, the number comes to over 200. The verb rejoice appears well over 200 times. Gladness and rejoicing are part of the everyday life that God desires for human society. God wants people to enjoy him and all that he has given them for life in this world. Ecclesiastes 9, 7 through 9. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days, for this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Solomon was saying, as you go about your daily life, it might seem toilsome, but find moments to enjoy life because God gave us life to enjoy. Luke 1, 13 through 15. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." I'm sure all of us who have experienced the birth of a child into our family can identify with the joy and delight that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth had when John came into their life. And God wants us to enjoy these times. from Luke 15, 22 through 24. But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. There's a lot of reason to celebrate in this life. And we shouldn't be ashamed to celebrate. From 1 Timothy 6:17, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." God gave us this life and its blessings so that we can enjoy it. And from Luke 15, 1, this is the most famous biblical reference to God's joy. The Pharisees and scribes had criticized Jesus for receiving sinners and eating with them. Then Jesus told three parables: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the loving father. And the explicit theme of each parable is joy over one sinner who repents. Joy, in a special sense, becomes the possession of believers when they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and are united with Him in baptism. This joy is more than simply a feeling of happiness when all's going well. That sort of joy will be only temporary. And here's what Solomon had to say about fleeting happiness in Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 11. "I said to myself, 'Come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good.' But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness, and what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and there was the reward for all my toil. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." Here we see Jesus talking to his disciples, and he is saying that they will have joy that no one can take away. John 17, 13, Jesus says to the Father, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them." It was Jesus' desire that we who are on earth would have his full joy. And Romans 15, 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." This joy is a quality of peace and strength that enables believers to rejoice even amid trouble and sorrow. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. And that's from Habakkuk 3:17 through 18. Matthew 5:10 through 12 reminds us, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The more believers grow in their new life in Christ, the more the indwelling Spirit of Christ develops the quality of joy within them. This joy is inseparable from love, peace, and hope. Listen to Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The fulfillment of our joy will be to meet Christ at his return and enter with him into the full joy of the age to come. From Revelation 19:6-10, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made himself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. At this I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. What a glorious day of true joy it will be when we stand in heaven in the presence of Almighty God. This glorious hope is a further cause for our rejoicing amid present trials. 1 Peter 1:3-9 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. To sum up, Joy in the Lord enables people to enjoy all that God has given. They rejoice in family, food, celebrations, and fellowship. They share with other believers the joy and sorrows of life. Romans 12:15 reminds us to rejoice with them that rejoice and to weep with them that weep. Joy is the fruit of a right relationship with God. It's not something people can create by their own efforts. Joy in the Christian life is in direct proportion as believers walk with the Lord. They can rejoice because they are in the Lord. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit-led life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And sin in a believer's life can rob their a person of their joy. David wrote in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. When a person walks with God, the person can continue to rejoice even when troubles come. Jesus spoke of those who could rejoice even when persecuted and killed in Matthew 5. Paul wrote of rejoicing in suffering because of the final fruit that would result in Romans 5:3-5. And both Peter and James also echoed the Lord's teaching about rejoicing in times of trouble. 1 Peter 1:6-8 and James 1:2. Joy has certainly come to the world because of the arrival of Christ the Lord, and I pray that you will celebrate this Christmas season in joy. Our Father God, thank you for allowing us the joy that comes from knowing you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd like to join us in person, we're currently meeting at 9 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Check out our website at cocep.org for current info on services and social distancing guidelines. Have a great week.